Okay, we're starting from the two dots on Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. We left off yesterday discussing the positions of Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel. The Gemara was trying to explain why our Mishnah says Hakol Shochatin, and in addition to that, the Mishnah continues and says the Olam Shochatin. And the question of why do we need this, the Olam Shochatin, in the Mishnah? So we had there a machloket about whether that was for Rabbi Shmuel or for Rabbi Akiva. According to both opinions, it means that you have to continue to do Shechita. The question is, what was the Hava Mina? According to Rabbi Shmuel, is that the Basar Tava became Mutar in Eretz Yisrael, and it continued to be Mutar even after the Galut. And the other possibility is Rabbi Akiva, who says that Shechita was only required once they reached Eretz Yisrael. Prior to that, Nechira was okay. The Lolam Shechadim means that they have to continue to do Shechita even after they leave, and they can't go back to doing Nechira. That's where we left off the Gemara, and the Gemara wants to know now, two dots, on Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, but Mike Miflige. What's the argument between Rabbi Akiva and Mishmael? Rabbi Akiva savar basar tava lo itzar klal. Rabbi Akiva says basar tava was never asur, meaning that even in the Midbar they had basar tava. Rabbi Shmuel savar basar nechira lo ishtare klal. Rabbi Shmuel believes that basar nechira, stabbing, where Rashi describes is that he tears down from the neck all the way down to the chest, lo ishtare, that was never mutar. So that has to be the premise of Rabbi Akiva. If Basar Tava was Mutar in the Midbar, then you have to explain to me what changed when they went into Eretz Yisrael. So according to Rabbi Akiva, what changed when they went to Eretz Yisrael is they have to do Shechita. It means that until that point in time, Rabbi Akiva believed that they ate without Shechita or through Nechira. Rabbi Shmuel, on the other hand, who believes that Basar Tava was only Mutar once they entered into Eretz Yisrael, therefore he only thinks that Shechita came into effect then. Prior to that, you don't need any other rules or any other exceptions, and therefore Nechira was never Mutar according to Rabbi Shmuel. Gemara says, Bishlomo the Rabbi Shmuel. According to Rabbi Shmuel, I understand. Hainu dechtiv, the pasuk says, Veshachat et ben abakar. Chat et ben abakar, that's Shechita. And that's in the Midbar. So why do you need Shechita according to Rabbi Akiva? Rabbi Shmuel says you need Shechita because you always needed Shechita. There was no other way to do this. Whereas according to Rabbi Akiva, when they were in the Midbar, they could use Nechira. Hello, Rabbi Akiva, my Veshachat. What do you need the word Veshachat for? Gemara says, Kodshim Shaini. The obvious answer is that Veshachat ben Makar is talking about Kodshim. Even Rabbi Akiva agrees when it comes to Kodshim, he required Shechita in the Midbar. The only thing that he was matir in the Midbar was Basar Ta'ava. Basar that was not for Kodshim. He was matirid ayidei nechira. Mar says, Bishlam ala Rabbi Shmuel, hainu dichtiv, hatzon muvakar yishachet lahem. When the people complain for food, Moshe approaches the Kodesh Baruch Hu and says, I don't have enough meat to shech for them. Even if I want to acquiesce, even if I want to give in to their desires, I don't have enough to muvakar yishachet lahem. So there it sounds clearer that it's yishachet, it's a requirement of shechita, and here we're talking about basar tava. That was the request of the people. They weren't asking to bring more kochim. They were asking for meat to eat. They were tired of the man. They wanted to eat meat. That's basar tava. And see, the term yishachet is used here by Moshe Rabbeinu. El Rabbi Akiva, mayat zonu bakar yishachet. According to Rabbi Akiva, who says basar tava in the midbar was done through nechira, why do you need shechita at all? Yinecher lehem. Let him just do nechira. Miboyle. That's what it should have said. So my answer is nechira shalem zuhi shechita tan. Shechita is a generic term which means that which is matir the animal for achila. So whatever it is that has mattered them, according to Rabbi Akiva, Nechira is sufficient to create that. So it's not that Shechita is a specific process, but rather bringing the animal to the state in which it is mutar to eat, and that can be accomplished, according to Rabbi Akiva, through Nechira. So even though it uses the verb Yishachet, nevertheless, it really means Nechira, bringing the animals to a state of heter, according to Rabbi Akiva, in the Midbar. Now, Gemara says, Bishlam ala Rabbi Shmuel, according to Rabbi Shmuel, makes sense. Hainu ditnan, we have a Mishnah, Hashochet, v'nitnavla biyado, someone does a shechita, and it doesn't go well, and it turns into nevela. Vanocher, v'hami'aker, someone who does nechira, someone does akira. These are all failures in the shechita. Patur l'chasot, he doesn't have to do kisui hadam. Kisui hadam, which is required by the chaya and ofot, that's only required if you actually do a good shechita. Now, it doesn't have to be a kosher shechita. It's even a shechita of a treifa. But it has to be that the shechita itself was a good shechita. Over here, all these shechitot are problematic because they make the animal into a nevela, and therefore you're patur from doing kisui adam. Ela Rabbi Akiva, my patur milachasot. According to Rabbi Akiva, why are you patur milachasot? Because it says here v'anocher. According to Rabbi Akiva, nocher is equivalent to shechita. So if you did nechira, why don't you have to do kisui adam? Mar says, hol v'itzar, again, an obvious answer, that nechira was only mutar in the midbar. Once they enter into Eretz Yisrael and have to do Shechita, Nechira becomes nothing. It's not that it gets Nechira, still has some residual of Shechita in it, or is the residual being a matir. Nechira becomes meaningless once you have a requirement of Shechita. So that's why the Mishnah states that when you do Nechira, it's equivalent of making it into a Nevela, and you wouldn't have to do Kisui Adam according to Rabbi Akiva. The three questions on Rabbi Akiva, now we have a support for Rabbi Akiva. Bishlam Rabbi Akiva Damar Basar Tava Luitar Kalal. Basar Tava was never Asur. I know Dichtiv Acher Yachelet Atzviv Et Ayel Ken Tochlenu. When the Torah wants to scribe to you how you're going to eat in Eretz Yisrael, it says, just like you ate Atzvi and Ayel Nemidbar, that's the way you'll eat this when you're in Eretz Yisrael. Well, what's it referring to, like you ate Tzvi Ayel? Well, how do you eat the Tzvi Ayel? Well, Tzvi Ayel are obviously Basar Tava because they can't be Kodshim. They're Chayot. They don't go on the Mizbeach. So the Torah is prescribing the methodology for eating is based on Tzvi Ayel, which they experienced in the Midbar. That shows you there was Basar Tava in the Midbar. Rabbi Shmuel, Tzvi Ayel Gufei Mihavishori. According to Rabbi Shmuel, how could the Torah say that, the paradigm for how you're going to eat Basar Tava or Psulei Mukdashim in Eretz Yisrael is based on the Tzvi Ayel that you ate in the Midbar? He doesn't think you ate Tzvi and Ayel in the Midbar, so how could that be the paradigm? The Gemara answers, very interesting. Ki also Rachmano, when did the Torah say that Basar Tava is Asur? That's Behema, the Chazila Krova, because there was an alternative that it can be put on the Mizbeach. Aval Chaya, the Lo Chazila Krova. On the other hand, Chaya that can't go on the Mizbeach, not Roi the Mizbeach, Lo Asa Rachmano. That means even according to Rabbi Shmuel, who says that Basar Tava was not permitted in the Midbar, that is only true when it comes to behemot and basar tava behemot, because they would be brought on the mizbeach, they would be kochim. On the other hand, when it comes to chayot were never roi the mizbeach, and so even Rabbi Shmuel agrees that in the midbar they ate basar chaya, basar tava. So now, by Rabbi Yirmiya, evrei basar nechira. So this question is obviously according to Rabbi Akiva, who says that basar nechira was mutar in the midbar. The evarim of the basar nechira, shechnisu Yisrael mehem le'er aretz. Mahu, what's its din? What's the din of these evarim that they were mutar in the midbar, but now they enter Eretz Yisrael? We know the requirement once they enter Eretz Yisrael is to do shechita. So now what is the status of these evarim that were once mutar in the midbar, but now they've carried with them into Eretz Yisrael? Rama wants to know, emat, when are you talking about? Ilema b'sheva shekibshu. If you're talking about the first 7 years in which they were doing kibush Eretz Yisrael, they were conquering Eretz Yisrael, Hashto davar tameh yishtori luhu. There, even something that was pearly tameh was mutar lahem dichtiv. Because there it says, ubatim mleim kol tuv. That they had houses full of all good. So I'll just read you the psukim that are found. This is in Dvarim Perek Vav. And there it says that after, it's immediately after the parsha of Shema in Etchanan, it says, vaya ki v'yecha Hashem lakech ala aretz. Asher nishba la butecha l'avram mitzach l'yakov l'te lecha. L'telach, arim gdolot v'tovot asher lo banita. Hashem's going to give you these cities and houses that you didn't build. Ubatim aleim kol tov etuv. And there'll be houses full of all goodness. Asher lo mileta, that you didn't bring. Ubarot chatzuvim asher lo chatzavta. And cisterns that you did not quarry out. Kramim v'zeitim asher lo natata. Vineyards and olive groves that you didn't plant. V'chalta v'savata. And you're going to enjoy all of this. So there, these psukim, ubatim aleim kol tov. Meistanat Gemara says that when you come in to do Sheva Shekibush, when you come in to conquer the land, then you're allowed to benefit for the Batim Mleim Toltuv. And V'amar Rabbi Yirmiya Abba Marav, Katlei Dechazire. Now what does it mean, Batim Mleim Toltuv? It means that you can even eat Katlei Chazire. What are the Katlei Chazire? So the Ramban of the Torah, when he talks about it, calls them like the sides or the ribs of Chazirim. But you look over here in Rashi, Rashi says about the katlei chazireis chazirim yeveshim, dried out pig, shikorim, and if you look in the French there, bacons. So they could eat even bacon when they came into Eretz Yisrael during the Sheva of Kibush. So the Gemara wants to know, well, if when it comes to Sheva Kibush they can even eat bacon, what do you have to tell me about basar nechira? That's the least of their problems. That's what Gemara says, basar nechira mibaye? There you have to tell me anything. Elo liachar mikan. We want to know after that point in time, Rashi says, in the Sheva Shel Chiluk. I mean, this heter, according to Rashi, terminates at the end of the Sheva Shel Kivush, and once you hit the Sheva Shel Chiluk, it's done. The Ramban of the Torah brings down two alternatives, favors that Rashi says over here, but he does bring down an alternative that says that during the Sheva Kibush, they could continue to eat, even after the Sheva of Kibush. So it would extend even to forever, as long until they used up everything they gathered during the 7 years of Kibush. We'll finish this up, and then we'll come back and discuss this a little bit. It's a very, very interesting heter. Some say that maybe we're even asking the question about the 7 years of Kibush. Ki ishtari luhu. What was mutter for them? Shlal shalv dekochavim. That was talking about things that they booty that they had gathered from the Shiva Amamim that they're conquering in Eretz Yisrael. Al dehu lo dishtore. But when it comes to that which they themselves, the Basar Nechira that they're carrying over from the Midbar, possibly over there, it's not mutar. And we leave the question as a takeaway. So what's very interesting is it had to be a major machloket here between the Rambam and the Ramban as to how to explain this heter. If you look in Mishneh Torah, the Ramban, when he codifies the halacha in Mishneh Torah, writes like this. It's in Hilchot Melachim, Perachet, Halacha Aleph. Chalutzei tzava, shikansu begvul akum, vikav shum veishvu mehem. When they go into these areas and they enter the non-Jewish nations, they capture them, they take captives. Mutar lehem lechol nevelot vitrefot ubasar chazir. They can eat any type of isur, ubasar kuyotzebo, v'im yirav, if they're very hungry, velo matzah mayochal, and they can't find what to eat, el bachilot elu hasirim. The only thing they have to eat is these items that are asur, then it's okay. V'chein shote yayin esech, and they can even drink yayin esech, piyashmua lamdu, where do we know this from? Batim leim koltu, fe chazirim kuyotzebehem. Here they talk about oref, the back of the neck of the chazirim. But he learns it out from our Gemara over here, the Psukim in our Gemara. The Ramban of the Torah, one is Yayin Nesech. Whoever said that Yayin Nesech is Mutar, that's a din in Tikrovet Avodah Zarah, and why should that be Mutar at all? That's one problem he has with the Rambam. The second problem he has with the Rambam is that the Heter that the Gemara is talking about is during Sheva Shekivush, that's talking about the Shiva Amamim. It's talking about a Mechemet Mitzvah, and it's talking about conquering Eretz Yisrael. Any battle that you enter into, according to the Rambam. The third thing that the Ramban questions about the Rambam's opinion is, wait a minute, what does it say over here, Yirav, that they got hungry? Where does it say that in the Gemara? The Gemara says that the Shalal of the Chumi is Mutar the Gamre, and it has nothing to do with them being hungry. The Ramban in Dvarim, in that Parsha Perek Vav, Pasuk Yud, and Etchanan, writes like this, Vine hu tru the hen kol ha-isurim. All isurim are Mutar, except Zulati Isur Avodah Zarah. Except for Avodah Zarah. Vaya Heter Zeh Ad Shuluchlu Shlaloveim. And that Heter was until they ate up everything of their enemies. V'yesur Mim B'Sheva Shekibshu. That only during the Sheva Kibush like Rashi. V'chein Yira B'Gemara. And that's what the Gemara sounds like. And then he criticizes the Rambam's explanation. So what do we do with the Rambam? So the Radvaz, both on the Rambam himself and his parish on the Rambam, as well as in his the Shuta Radvaz, tries to explain the Rambam. He says the Rambam has explaining something different than the Ramban. The Rambam is talking about cases of a Milchama, even Milchemet Rishut. And when it comes to Milchemet Rishut, you don't have the dispensation to eat Isur at will, like you do in this Gemara. Our Gemara is talking about the Sheva of Kibush, Milchemet Mitzvah, conquering Eretz Yisrael. He agrees with the Ramban that there you can eat at will Isurim. The Rambam, who's describing even Milchemet Rishut, other battles, says like this. Generally, the requirement to eat Isur would be Pikuach Nefesh. So when it comes to Pikuach Nefesh, we have a dispensation. But the Rambam says there's a special dispensation in war, which is that even if it's not Pikuach Nefesh, but the soldiers are hungry, or they are desirous of the foods that's there, the Torah allows them to eat it. Just like, and he compares it, the next halacha that he brings down is Eshet Yifat Toar. Meaning that is permitted to the soldiers to eat, because if we don't allow the soldiers to eat on the spot, and they have to go back and get kosher food, if they're not Pikuach Nefesh, it's going to cause problems in the battle. The enemies will know that they always have to go back to eat. They have to get the kosher food out. Whatever it is. So here we have a blanket head there. The Rambam says if they're hungry, even, again, not in cases of Pikuach Nefesh, but just to conduct the battle, they're allowed to do this. The proof he brings is from our Gemara. The fact that the Torah gives us a dispensation by the Sheva of Kibush to eat Isur without any restrictions whatsoever, so the Rambam says, extends from that and says, okay, fine, that's by Mechemet Mitzvah, there are no restrictions. But at least I can extrapolate from that to a Mechemet Rishut and say, when it comes to Mechemet Rishut, fine, I can't eat at will, but if I'm hungry, and even though it's not Pikuach Nefesh, I should have the right to eat this Isur. And that's why the Radvaz explains the Rambam and answers the questions of the Ramban. One interesting thing is what happened with Sichon and Og. Battles of Sichon and Og. What's the din by Sichon and Og? The Ramban mentions in another place that by Sichon and Og, that the Eretz of Eber Yardain has Kedushat to Eretz Yisrael, and therefore they did not have to be Metahir or any of the Kelim. And that's why it's this week's Parsha and Parsha Pinchas and Ematot and Masay, where they have to be Metahir the Kelim from Midian. By the Battle of Midian, they had to kasher all the Kelim. Why didn't they have to kasher the Kelim by Sichon and Og? So Ramban answers that that's because when it came to Sichon and Og, it has the same din as Eretz Yisrael. It has the same din as Eretz Yisrael. That means that everything is Mutar. That's the answer of the Ramban. It happens to be that it's a steer in the Ramban, because the Ramban in other places mentions that the Kedusha of Eretz Yardain is not like the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. You can't build a Mikdash there. You can't do many things in Eretz Yardain that you can't do in Eretz Yisrael. But one place here, he seems to indicate that the Eretz Yardain has the same status as Eretz Yisrael. And in other places, I'll send you all the Makorot, he seems to say that Eretz Yardain does not have Kedusha at Eretz Yisrael. But in order to deal with the issue of why they didn't have to be Metahir, the Kalim by Sichon and Og, or anything that they ate, Ramban says it's under the same heter as the Shiva Avamim and the Mechemet Mitzvah that was conducted. According to the Rambam, that wouldn't be the case. According to the Rambam, it probably was under the heter of Mechemet Rishut that he mentions, that if they were hungry, they could have eaten it, but not that it was a blanket heter for Isur. So anyway, it happens to be a very, very interesting topic, and it's pretty amazing that in the 7 years of Kibush, that all Isurim were waived. All Isurim, except for the Isur of Avodah Zarah, were waived. Imagine at the end of the 7 years, they had to come back and practice the religion again. I'm sure it was hard for the Chalutzei Tzava in those instances to come back after having these blanket heterim for 7 years. I agree with you. It seems counterintuitive that they should have heter of Isur as they're entering into Kedushat Haaretz, and that you would think that Kolat Chalot should be B'Kedusha and it should be done right, and that you would have expected it to be the opposite. So anyway, it's amazing heter, MC Machlokas, Ramban, and the Rambam, how it works. So I just wanted to give you a quick skira. I have the Makorot. I'll send them out to you so that you can take a look at them inside. Okay, now the Gemara continues and says, Amar Rabbo, Shanita, you took care in our Mishnah of Akol Shochatim, Uli Olam Shochatim. What about the last in the Mishnah, Bakol Shochatim? So what are you going to do with that? My Mishanitli, what are you going to do with that? If you're going to say b'chol shochatim means even b'tzur, even b'schuchit, even b'kumit shokana, even with a sharp rock, a flint, even with glass, or even with the reed halm, ha dumya dahana kani, you have to have them be consistent. You need a parallel structure in the Mishnah. Ihanach b'shochatin, hainami b'shochatin. If the first two are talking about the people doing the shechita, then fine. If those are dealing with the animal that's being nishchat, then they should also be benishchatim. Meaning you have to have it consistent. The way we've explained it right now is, hakol shochatim means you have to shech all animals, including ofot. The olam shochatim means you always have to do it through shechita. I mean, you always have to perform shechita on these animals. And then now, the last thing we're saying is hakol shochatim, but hakol shochatim means with any utensil. That means the first two categories you're explaining about the nishchat, about the animal itself. The animal itself requires shechita, and no matter when it requires shechita. And then you're talking about the shochet, the person who's performed the shechita. So you have an inconsistency in the parallel structure of the Mishnah if you explain it that way. So Elama Rava, Rava comes and amends our explanation and says like this. Hakol shochatin. The kol shochatin appears twice. It appears here in the Mishnah that we just had, and it also appears in the beginning of the Masechta. And there it says, Akol Shochatim, there are two of them. Chada tu yekute, one is to include a kuti, v'chada tu Yisrael Mumar. One comes to include a Yisrael Mumar. And this is, if you remember, Rova l'shitato earlier, that says Yisrael Mumar l'te'avon, he's allowed to check for you if you check the knife beforehand. L'olam Shochatim, how do we explain that? Ben bayom ben balayla. That means day or night. Ben barosh agag, ben barosh asvina. Even on the roof, and even on a boat. Ben bayom ben balayla, the have a maybe at night that you can't check properly, so you shouldn't be able to do it. So when it says at night, you have to do it bavuka, you have to do it with a big torch, so it makes it like daylight, but you're allowed to do it at night as long as you can simulate the situation you would have during the daytime with light. Barosh Agag, the problem would be, we might think that you're shechting l'tzva shamayim. It's as if you're bringing a korban or you're shechting it to the constellations, to the heavenly bodies, so we might think it's asur. So we say, no, Barosh Agag is a mutar. We don't assume that he's doing the wrong thing or he's doing it l'avodah zarah. And then, b'mein b'rosh ha-svina, is that maybe he's shechting it the sar hayam. Maybe he's shechting it to the sar hayam because he shechs it over the edge of the boat and the blood goes into the water. So you would think that he's offering up the blood to sar shayam. The answer is that muchach, that he doesn't want to get his boat dirty. And the reason he's shechting over the edge is not because he's shechting the sar shayam, but he doesn't want to get his boat dirty. So even all of these instances, you would have a havamina that you couldn't do shechita. Nevertheless, olam shochatim, you can shecht in all of these instances. Bakol shochatin, that's ben b'tzur, ben b'schuchit, ben b'kumit shel kaneh. That's the utensil you can use for the shechita. So at this point, then, we have a consistent or parallel structure in the Mishnah that all these statements are talking about the shochet, those people that do the shechita. In the first case, it's who can do the shechita. In the next case, is when you can do the Shechita. And the last case is with what you can do the Shechita. But they're all talking about from the perspective of the Shochet. Now the Gemara continues to explain the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Chutz mimagal katzir, that you can't use for Shechita a harvesting scythe, v'amigera, and a saw. Avua de Shmuel, Shmuel's father, again, who happens to be that in-between generation, who between the Tanaim and Amoraim, he sits between them, Rav and Shmuel being in the first generation of Amoraim, Rabbi being in the last generation of Tanaim, there's a number of people that sit in between them. Avua de Shmuel is one of those that sits in between there. Pagam v'shadar, he made nicks in the knives and sent them to Eretz Yisrael. Pagam v'shadar, he kept doing different nicks in the knives and sending to them to learn what's problematic. Which nick in a knife will be problematic for Shechita? Shalchulei kimigira shaninu. That the problems are when it looks like a saw. That's when it's a problem. All you have to know is that it looks like a saw. And what's it mean that it looks like a saw? That means that the protrusion or the nick has a sharp edge on two sides. That it cuts in both directions. I mean, that's whether it's a protrusion or an incision in the knife that it has sharp on two edges. So now we're going to explain this a little more. Tanu Rabbanan. When it comes to a sakin, sheyesh ba pikimot tarbe, it has many nicks in it, tidon kemigera, has a din of a saw. B'shem ba lepikima achat, if it only has one nick in it, then ogeret psula, if it's ogeret, it's problematic. Misuchsechet kshera. And the Gemara is going to ask right away, hechidam yo ogeret, hechidam yo misuchsechet. What does ogeret mean and what does misuchsechet mean? Amar Rabbi Eliezer, or Amar Rabbi Lazar, ogeret mishtei ruchot. Ogeret is something that is sharp on two ends. Misuchsechet is mi ruach achat, is from one side. And as Rashi explains, if you have a nick into the knife, then there are two edges that are sharp. The depression edge, as well as the edge that comes back up towards the knife, both of those are sharp, and they both are able to cut. On the other hand, when we're talking about a misuchsechet, when we're talking about something that has a depression on one side, but the remainder of the knife is smoothed out. He put it into the sharpening stone, and he smoothed that edge out, so it becomes more like a flat edge as it comes out of there. If you have Sichut Chulin, you can take a look at the examples of that on Bechof Aleph, page Chof Aleph in the Sichut Chulin, where he shows the difference between a single edge and a double edge here in the terms of the nick. Now the Gemara wants to understand Maishna. Maishna Mishtei Ruchot. What's the problem if it's sharp on two edges? The Mursha Kama Mach, the first sharp edge, as it goes into the depression, Machlish, cut, Umursha Batra. And the second sharp edge, Buzza, rips. So what happens here? You have, when you go to do Shechita, you have the skin and the Basar, and then the Simanim. Over here, Rashi says that the first sharp edge cuts the Basar and the Or. The second sharp edge then gets caught on the Simanim and rips the simanim, and that's what causes the problem. That's why when you have two sharp edges, the nick is sharp on two edges, then it's problematic. How do you tell that the nick is sharp on both edges or problematic on both edges? Is if you run your fingernail along the knife. If you run your fingernail along the knife, it'll catch on that in one direction. If you run it the other way, if it catches in the other direction, that means that you have now a sharp edge on two directions. If your fingernail only catches in a single direction, that means that you only have one sharp edge, not two sharp edges. That's how Rashi defines or tells us how to figure out which one is miruach achat or mishtei ruchot. So then, on the other hand, the Gemara says, okay, if that's the reasoning here, that shtei ruchot, that's the problem, then miruach achat nami. Even miruach achat, chorfa de sechina machlish, the sharpness of the knife does the cunning. I mean, according to the way Rashi is explained, that cuts through the basar and the or the or and the basar, and then mursha bazat. And then that sharp edge will then rip the simanim afterwards. So my answer is the kaim aresha de sakina, that this sharp edge is at the beginning of the knife. So when it's at the beginning of the knife, it doesn't have time for the sharpness of the knife to cut through. My says sof, ki azlo machlusha. When he goes in the one direction with the knife, it cuts through. Machlusha means it cuts through the or and the basar. Ki ata, when he returns, baza. Then that depression, that sharp edge will catch it and rip it out. My answer is up. He only went in the one direction. Since he went in a single direction, and that sharp edge is found at the top of the knife, then we don't have any problem here, because the sharpness of the knife will never touch the simanim, because the first cutting takes place on the or and the basar. By the time he gets deep enough to be in the simanim, he's past the point where you have that sharp edge. And so that'll be the difference. Now, according to Shitat Rashi, that means that Misuch Sechet or Ogeret, Ogeret being something that has a catch in both directions, Misuch Sechet is a catch in a single direction. Rashi says if you have multiple nicks that are Ogeret or multiple nicks that are Misuch Sechet, both of those are problematic. Both of those are no good. Because according to Rashi, the first will always cut through the Or and the Basar, and the latter ones will cause a Bazar ripping of the Simanim. So it's irrespective of its Ogeret or Misuch Sechet, if you have multiple of these nick, they're problematic. The only nafgamina is if you have one. If you have one nick, if it's Ogeret, meaning it catches in both directions, then it is problematic and it's no good for Shkita. On the other hand, if it's Misuch Sechet, and you only have one nick in there, then it's possibly kasher. It's possible it's kasher when it's at the beginning of the knife. It's the beginning of the knife, and you only go in a single direction. That's the way Rashi learns the Gemara over here. There are other Rishonim who believe that Misuch Sechet is always kasher, even if there are multiple Misuch Sechot, even if there are multiple times that you have a single catch, because that type of catch will never baza, it will never rip. Because of the nature of the way it is, that it's in a direction, a single direction, it won't be. Now, what does it mean that Barosh HaSakin? Barosh HaSakin means in the direction that the knife goes. That as long as the direction the knife is going does not have the catches on it, then it'll be fine. Baza, it only rips when you bring the knife in the opposite direction and it has the catches on it. Those at Rishonim will believe, even if there are multiple nicks that are Misuch Sechot, that only have catch in one direction, as long as the catch is not in the direction that you're doing the Shechita, then it's fine, even when you have multiple nicks. That's a machlokas Rashi with some of the other Rishonim with regards to multiple Misuch Sechot, multiple nicks that catch in a single direction. The other difference between Rashi and some of the other Rishonim, Rashi believes that the Chufra de Sakina, or the first cut, when you have a Ogeret, always cuts through the Or Basar, and then the second sharp edge is what cuts through the Simanim. There are other Rishonim who believe that we're talking about even when the knife is already at the Simanim. Even when the knife is at the Simanim, you will not cut the Siman when the catch is always at the beginning of the knife. So even though, because you're passing by the Siman, you first have to get into the Siman in order for there to be a catching of the Siman. So even if you are already through the Or HaBasar, if the catch is at the beginning, we don't worry about it because it won't rip the Siman, because it takes time to rip the Siman. You need to have some entrance into the Siman before it'll rip it. So if it's at the start of the knife, I'd say, okay, that's the Ran's opinion, that not unlike Rashi, where he says that the cutting is going into the Orin Basar, he says it's even when it's on the Siman, it just says that the nature of the Siman is that it won't rip until it has some work on it before it hits this depression. The last thing to point out is that we mentioned in the Mishnah that a Magal that is serrated is kasher, as long as you go in the direction away from the serrations. Well, how come? We are talking about over here that anytime you have an edge, even a single sharp edge, it's problematic. The answer to that question Rashi brings down is that by the Magal, the serrations are very curved. They're heavily curved, inward, that there's almost no catching of the Simanim on them because they're turned in so deeply. On the other hand, when we're talking about Misuch Sechet and Ogeret over here, we're talking about catches that are easily caught. And we'll talk about they easily affect the Simanim that are there. Amar Rava, Gimel Midot B'Sakin. There are three different issues here to talk about B'Sakin. Ogeret, Lo Yishchot. When it comes to an Ogeret, you can't do Shechita with it. Vim Shachat Shechitato P'Sula. If you do Shechita with it, it's problematic. So an Ogeret, again, is something that is a nick that catches in both directions, a sharpness in both directions, that you're not allowed to do shkita with. If you do the shkita, it's psula. Misuch sechet lo yishchot ba lechatchila. Misuch sechet, you can't shecht in it lechatchila. Vim shkachat shkitato kshira. If he does the shkita, then it's okay. Again, you'll have to say that. That's a case where it's at the beginning of the knife, and he's only going in one direction, like we explained in the Gemara above. That's why it's only b'di'evit, because it's that unusual case where he's only going in one direction at the beginning of the knife, so we're afraid that he might bring the knife back the other way, so that's why lechatchila we don't let you do it. But b'di'evit, if he did it, and he only went in the single direction, it was at the beginning of the knife, then it's okay. Olevi yored, a knife that it goes up and down. Now this might either be that there's a depression in the knife, or that there's a protrusion in the knife. But the depression or the protrusion are very large. They're not like what we're talking about here, nicks that are sharp, but they're rather much more rounded parts on the knife, either around the depression in the knife or a rounded protrusion in the knife. Over there, b'sakin shochepa d'chatchila, that you can use the chatchila because there are no catches on it. Since there are no catches, it functions like a regular knife. You might think of a butter knife or something like that, where you have a edge that's moving or coming up, but the incline or decline of the edge is not sharp. And so therefore, it's just a regular cutting utensil. It's not something that's going to catch and rip the simanim. Say, Amar le Rav Huna b'reid Rav Nechemya le Rav Ashi. Amartlan mishmei de Rova. You said to us, in the name of Rava, misuchsechet psula. The misuchsechet's problematic. Now we're reading, Vavaha misuchsechet ksheira. Now you're telling us that from Rava that misuchsechet is kasher. So lo kasho. Kancholich vevi. Kancholich velo evi. So that's what we just discussed above, that misuchsechet's only going to be mutar when the problem is at the beginning of the knife, and he only went in a single direction, not when he came back in the other direction. That's according to Rashi, according to the other Rishonim, it means he went in the direction that was against the catches. He went in a single direction and never went in the direction that the catch or the nicks would catch. He went in the opposite direction and only in that direction. That'll be the difference between b'di'evit if it's kasher, or whether it's even b'di'evit psula is in that factor, whether he went back and forth or he only went in that single direction. Rashi points out something very, very interesting here. It says here that you, Rav Ashi, told us Mishmei de Rava, in the name of Rava. Rashi tells us that Rav Ashi never saw Rava. The Gemara tells us another place. The day that Rava died, Rav Ashi was born. So how could Rav Ashi say something over in the name of Rava? So Rashi says, Koheicha damar Mishmei de Ploni. Whenever you see in the Gemara, he says Mishmei de Ploni, lo shama mimenu. He did not hear it directly. Ela me'acherim shama shekablu mimenu. He heard it through hearsay. Meaning that it was not something that he heard directly, but rather through third parties who told him that they said this. Ki ad Rav Ashi, lo ra'at Rava me'olam. Like over here, Rav Ashi never saw Rava. Nevertheless, he's saying when we say Mishmei de Rava, means that he heard others say this in the name of Rava, but not that he himself heard it from Rava. So that's just the principle in the Gemara that this word Mishmei doesn't mean literally from that individual, but in the name of that individual. Now Gemara continues. Samalei Vacha b'reid Rav Avi, yod Rav Ashi. Damia lesaso, if it's similar to a English word I saw was an on, my, what's a din? Rashi describes it as it being the beard, zakan shibalim, the beard or the head of the grain. If you think about a grain, if you look at the head, it has the kernels that are embedded in there, and then around it they have this fuzzy type of protective material that sits on top of it. They have little protrusions out of them. So that's what we're talking about here. We're talking about a knife that is not smooth, but it has no catches on it. If you run your finger over it, you run your finger over it, it will not catch. But the knife itself is not like smooth. It's not a very simple, smooth knife. It still has bumps in it, serrations in it, but not nicks to the point that you would catch. What's the din? Samalei, man yahavlinan mi basrei v'achlinan. Says, bring me some meat from that knife and I'll eat it. Meaning that it's mutar legamrei, there's no problem with a knife like that with shchita, because you don't have a problem with bazai, you don't have a problem with it ripping. Amar Rav Chisda, minayin lebedikat sakin min haTorah. How do you know that you have to check the knife min haTorah? Shenemar. So first of all, it doesn't bring a pasuk from the Torah. It brings a pasuk from the Navi. Ushchatetem bazeh vechaltem. But Sha'ul, when he goes in, he says, you take this knife and shecht with this knife and vechaltem, then eat it. So he says bazeh, when he tells him he gives him this knife in particular, he's saying, oh, use this knife. Amar says, pshita, what do you need a pasuk for this? Kevin techinekev treifa. If it makes a hole in the veshet, it's a treifa by bedika. Of course it requires bedika. What do you mean that you need to do a bedika here? You need a pasuk in the Torah teacher. You need to do a bedika because if you don't do a bedika and the knife has a nick in it, it's going to make it into a treifa. So there's nothing to talk about over here. Of course you have to do bedika. So Gemara says, the chacham kamrinan. I didn't mean that you have to do a bedika. I mean you have to show it to a chacham before you do it. So Gemara says, what do you need to know about that? Amar Rabbi Yochanan lo amru laharot sakin lachacham al pnei kvodo shel chacham. So what do you need a pasuk for that? That's all about protocol. That's something about hierarchy. Kavod that you have to give him is that you show him the knife. Not that it's a requirement for kashrut. It's just that out of kavod nechacham, you show him the knife. Where it says, migrabonon, that's a dindrabonon, v'kras machta ba'almahu. Talking about a dindrabonon, and the pasuk is just a smachta, that they brought the knife to Sha'ul, to show him the knife before they did the shechita. So now how do you do bedika? B'marova, in Eretz Yisrael, badkala b'shimsha. They used to check it with the sun. Rashi brings down two interpretations of what it means to check with the sun. Either you hold up the blade to the sun, and you look across the blade in the sun, and you'll see if there are any nicks in the blade. Or the other possibility is you hold up the blade to the sun, and it casts a shadow. And you look on the shadow, and you see if there's any breaks in the shadow. Other possibility, or the next is, Binardo Badkula Bimayo. They checked in water. Again, Rashi brings down two interpretations. One is that they took the sharp edge of the knife, and they ran it across the surface of the water. If it's absolutely smooth, the water will not break at all. If there's a nick in it, it'll cause the water to move, and you'll see that when the water moves. That's one possibility. The other possibility Rashi brought down was that you drop a drip of water along the sharp edge of the knife, and you watch the water flow down the knife. If it flows all the way down the sharpness of the knife and does not fall off, then you know there is no nick there. On the other hand, if it falls off the knife along the way down, you know there's a catch there, and that's what's causing the water to fall off the edge of the knife. Those are the two explanations Rashi brings. Then, Rav Sheshet Badkala Beresh Lishnei. Rav Sheshet was a daring man, and he used to check it with his tongue. He used to run the knife along his tongue to see if there were any catches in it. Rav Acha Bar Yaakov Badkala Bechut HaSa'ara. Rav Acha Bar Yaakov used to run a hair along the knife to see if it caught. Bisura Amrei Bisra Achla Bisra Lebedka. That if you're using the knife to cut meat, then you should use meat to check it. Either that means that you cut into another piece of meat, or it means probably most likely is that you run your finger over it. You run either your tongue or your finger over the knife, and that will be the check, because you have to use something that has a similar consistency to what you're going to cut. Because if you take something too soft and run it over, it'll catch, even though it won't catch on the simanim. Take something too hard, it won't catch, even though the simanim will catch. So you have to do something that'll be similar to the simanim. Elmer Papa. And here we have the conclusion. Rav Papa says, Tzricha bedika bisra v'atofra. You have to do two checks on the knife. One is with the skin, again, either with the tongue or your finger, v'atofra, and one with your nail. You have to run your finger over it, and then you have to run your nail over it. Now, here in terms of the girsa, either the girsa is there's nothing here at all, and you eliminate it, or it means atrei gifnei, or on the two sides. All right, we'll get to the Gemara later on, and we'll explain what else you have to do here. The reason you have to run your finger and your tongue over it, plus the nail, is because you cut two different things with the simanim. You cut the veshet, you cut the esophagus, which is soft, and that's similar to the basar that you run over. You cut the kaneh, the windpipe, the trachea, which is hard, and that's similar to the tziporin, that's similar to the fingernail. So therefore, you run both of them over to test the knife under both those circumstances that it's going to face with the simanim to make sure that it won't catch. So Amar Lei Ravina the Ravashi, Amarlan Rab, Sama Brei the Ramashasha Mishmech, it said over in your name, Da Amart Le Mishmei the Rava, that you said in the name of Rava, again here Mishmei the Rava, again doesn't mean that he literally heard it from Rava, but in the name of Rava, Tzricha Bedika Bisra Tofra, you need to check on flesh, meaning the finger or the tongue, Vatofra and the nails, Vatzlat Ruchata, and the three sides of the knife. Three sides of the knife means the top of the knife, the edge, the blade itself, as well as the sides, the two sides of the blade. Because if the blade, when it's cutting through, catches either on the sharp edge or on the sides, it can catch in any of those locations. So Amalei, he says back to Mabisra Tofra Amre, he says, I did say about the flesh and the fingernail being the check, Tlatru Chata Lo Amre. I never mentioned the fact that you should check on three sides. Ikad Amre. Abis Vatofra Vatlata Ruchot Amre. I said the flesh check, the nail check, and the three sides. Mishmei de Rova Lo Amre. I never said it over in the name of Rova. Ravina, Ravacha Brei de Rova Abiyatve Kame de Ravashi. They were sitting in front of Ravashi. Aitu Sakin the Kame. He was the Chacham. They brought a Sakin for him to check. The Kame de Ravashi Lebadka. Amarle, the Ravacha Brei de Rova. So Ravashi says to Ravacha, the son of Rava, Bitka, go ahead and check it. Badka Tofra Vabisra Vatuter Ruchato. He checked it with his flesh, with his nail, and then on three sides, Amale Yiyashir says, you did it right. So that would be, or that would confirm the second Lashon that we had before, the Ikadamri, that you require all of these things. V'chein Amarav Kahana, and Rav Kahana also agrees that you need to do that. You need to check with the flesh, the nail, and on the three sides. Rav Yemar says, a tofra bisra tzricha. You need to do the check with the flesh and with the nail. Atlata ruchoto lo tzricha. But you don't have to check on three sides. Why? Because we had this earlier in the Masechta. Milo amar Rab Zera Mishmuel. Didn't we say earlier on, Andavchet, libein sakin, someone who heats up a knife Vishachat bo, and then he does shchita with it. It's a kosher shchita, shchita tok shera. Why? Shechiduda kodem lelibuna. Because the sharpness of the knife cuts before the heat of the knife has a chance to burn the simanim. V'kashalan, and there the Gemara asked, Hayikat stadim? Fine. When it comes to the edge of the knife and the sharpness of the knife, fine, it goes through. But then once it passes through, you have the sides of the knife that will burn the simanim. Where it says, Armina beta shchita mirvach ravach. That we said that when you cut, as the knife cuts through, the beta shchita expands and moves away from the edges of the knife. Therefore, the sides of the knife will not burn the simanim. Well, if they won't burn the simanim, guess what? They also won't catch the simanim. So therefore, you don't have to check the top. You don't have to check the two sides of the knife. So, Hanami, beta shchita mirvach ravach, and we shouldn't worry if there's a catch on the side of the knife. Rashi, in the end, says, Vafilu hachi, even though it makes a lot of sense. What Rav Yemar says makes a lot of sense. It based to be consistent on what Rabbi Zera said earlier, and the name of Shmoy would be that you wouldn't have to check on all three sides. Nevertheless, Afilu hachi kaimalan k'rav acha, v'rav kahano, v'rav ashi, v'kulu amorai. We come with all these, da'am rei tzricha, bisva, tufra, v'atlat ruchoto. You have to do it on all three sides. V'im shachach, you forget, v'lo badak. Kodem shchita, bodek le'achar shchita. You can do b'di'evit, you can do the check afterwards. But we do have to do a check, according to Rashi, in the end. Three sides, plus you have to do it twice. You know, once with your basar, and once with your nail. One to simulate the veshet, and once to simulate the kaneh. So Amar Rav Huna, Bar Rav Katina, Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. Shlosh pigimotem. There are three types of pigimot, where the check is the same, which is pigimat etzem bepesach. One is not allowed to break the bones of the korban pesach. What's considered breaking? That's a pigima. Pigimat ozem bebechor. The mumim, if a bechor that gets a mum in it, it doesn't have to be brought to mizbeach and becomes chulin, and the kohen can shecht it and eat it begvulin. One of those mumim is a pigima in the ear of the bechor. That's in the cartilage area. The last one is pigimat mum bekodshim. And that if you have a mum in kodshim, where there's some sort of pigima that causes it to be not ra'oi to go on the mizbeach. All three of these are pigimot, and they all have the same test. You know how big the pigima is? If you run your fingernail over them and it catches, that's the test for it. So chistamar pigimat sakin. That's also the same test for sakin. V'idach. So why didn't Reish Lakish bring that down? B'chulin lo kamari. He's not dealing with chulin. He's only dealing with kodshim. Rashi, Tosafot, both over here explain why we need to bring down Bechor and Kodshim separately. Bechor is a subset of Kodshim. So why do I need to bring Bechor separate from Kodshim? And that's because they have a different din. The din by Kodshim is to be posel it from the Mizbech. The din by Bechor is to allow you to shecht it in the Gvulin. And the standard is different. And we'll see that when we get to the Gemara in Bechorot. There are certain Mumim that are posel you from the Mizbech, but they still don't allow you to shecht it in the Gvulin. On the other hand, there are certain mumim that do. So that's what we're talking about here. We're talking about this mum is both sufficient to not allow it to go on the mizbeach, but it's also sufficient to shech the bechor based on that mum. V'chulam, all of these, pigimadam kedei pigimat ha-mizbeach, is the same as a nick in the mizbeach, v'kama pigimat mizbeach, and what's the amount of the pigimat, a nick in the mizbeach, kedei shetach borba tziporin. Again, that your nail would get caught in it. That's exactly how much, and this is what we're discussing all along here, that the catch and the nick is that if the nail gets caught on it. So these are all the same standard. These are all have the same test for it. Where it says, Meiteve, is that really the test for the Mizbeach? Kama b'gimat Mizbeach? How much is considered a Mizbeach to be chaser? Because the Mizbeach, in order to be makriv on it, has to be shalem. So what is the amount? Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai omer tefach, as missing a tefach. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov omer kezayit. You have to be missing. I mean, that's a much more substantial than just catching your fingernail on it. We're saying, Lokasha, abesido haba'avno. Depends what part of the mizbeach we're talking about. If you're talking about the seed, when you're talking about the plaster that holds the mizbeach together, over there you need a bigger problem or break in the mizbeach to not be considered shalem. You have to be the size of a kazayit, the size of a tefach. Or then, when you're talking about the stones that make up the mizbeach over there, even if you have a fingernail catch in it, that is problematic in terms of the Mizbeach. Tosafot over here discusses exactly what type of rocks they were using for the Mizbeach. How could it be? You're not allowed to cut the rocks. They have to be Avanim Shleimot that have no fingernail catch in them. How could you find rocks like this? So Tosafot suggests that they pulled rocks out of the rivers. They pulled out little small rocks, not big rocks, that were smoothed over by the water. And that's what they did it, because they can't cut it by the Shamir, because that also leaves nicks that are fingernails left. They can't cut it with Bazel, because it says Lo Tanif Alem Bazel. Take a big rock, it always has a catch. Tosafot suggests that the rocks they used were small pebbles that were found in the running streams that were smoothed out, and that's what they used for the Mizbeach. He says that that's a great answer for the Mizbeach, but the problem is, what do they do for the Mikdash? So over there also says, Avanim Shlemot, and he says, I don't know, those are much bigger stones, I don't know what they did in that instance, and that is discussed in Tosafot and other places in Shas discusses that issue about how exactly they did it. All right, with that, we'll stop, and we'll continue with the Gemara tomorrow.